This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and the story of 92-year-old Bill Barkley of Las Vegas, Nevada, a Navy veteran of World War II who became a cause celeb earlier this year after vandals brazenly burned the American and Navy flags he had on poles in his yard, as well as the flags he flew on each side of his car. If you'd like to see some of the TV reports on this story, I have them linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, where you'll also find photos of Mr. Barkley and the seemingly unending stream of heartfelt gifts he's received since this all happened in February. We're going to come back around to what all of these events of 2017 have meant to him. But before that, I want you to hear about his experiences on a destroyer escort in the Atlantic Ocean in World War II. That was a new class of ship that helped the Allies all but eliminate, eventually, the German U-boat threat. Bill saw U-boats firsthand, and we're going to hear about encounters he had not just with submarines, but with enemy aircraft as well in the Atlantic, as his ship helped escort convoys first to North Africa and then to England and the European continent in 1944 and 1945. Destroyer escorts had relatively small crews, 8 officers and roughly 200 enlisted men. But before we get into your time on the USS Stockdale, Bill, let's go back to your early years.
All right.
Growing up in New Jersey, did you have a big family?
I had 9 brothers and 1 sister.
Woo! Where do you fit into that?
I had a younger brother. That was me. Then my next brother is 3 years older than me, then the other on up.
So how many of you were in the war?
I got 2 brothers in the Army, but they didn't do nothing. One of them had something wrong with his leg, but he's still in the Army. He went in himself. They let him in, but they can't send yours. Then I got 1 son who retired from the Army. He's had 20 years, and he married his wife 29 years in the Army.
Wow.
So.
But when you're growing up in Trenton, New Jersey, you're one of 11 children.
Yeah.
Going through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
What was that life like? What do you remember about those years?
Well, I got drafted. I went to school in the morning, and next day I'm in the Navy.
What about before all that? Did you?
I just went to high school.
But even before high school? The 1930s when the Great Depression is.
Well, we didn't do nothing. In other words, whenever we ate, my father was a baker for 40 years, and what we did, like, we'll have meatloaf Monday, then Wednesday we'll have another meatloaf because we can't afford it. Bread, he was a baker. We never had to pay for bread or anything.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, then we're all sitting at the table, and then if one of my brothers says, "We have meatloaf again, Mom," and she'll go over her back of her hand and knock him right off the chair. She did that to me 2 or 3 times. But then my mother liked to play bingo.
Uh-huh.
And she used to go to bingo every night. So while she's at the bingo, if she knocked me off the chair for saying that, she said, "You don't get no dinner," right? Soon she left, my father would go and bring him out and feed him. And then when my mother comes home, 11 o'clock at night, she'll say, "Dad, let Bill eat." And then she'll holler at my father. He wouldn't say nothing. He never hit us. He never said a bad word to us. My mother was mean. She was mean to us. You know?
Well, she was outnumbered.
Yeah.
11 kids is a lot.
Yeah.
Do you remember, though, as a boy, did you have some thoughts, "Hey, when I grow up, I want to do this and this and
this"? Nope. I didn't have time. Everything went so fast. Mm. You know, when you go to, you're going to high school, you don't think about nothing.
Uh-huh.
And then it's bad enough. I went to school like September the 8th. It's what, 3 months later, I'm overseas in the Navy.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you call that? How many people does that?
Not very many, but that's because of the timing of the whole thing, huh? They needed bodies, and they needed them now.
We were losing a war.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Normandy, we'd be under the Germans right now. I tell people that, and they laugh at me.
Well, and this was a real ever-present threat at the time, and you knew this. But even before that, a couple years before, I'm wondering what you remember about December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese bombed
Pearl Harbor. I heard it on radio.
You did?
I was 16.
Uh-huh.
I was sitting there, and we had them old table ones, you know. And I said, where's Hawaii at? I didn't know where that was until I went there. I went to Honolulu.
Sure. Do you remember if that even made sense to you? Could you even understand what had happened?
Oh, I wasn't afraid. I was only 16. When you're 16 in the 40s, you don't remember. You don't think of anything like this. All you think is day to day. I'm going to school in the morning. I'm coming home at night. But look at me. I went to school on the 8th, and 3 months later, I'm spending Christmas in England, mm-hmm. and Scotland a week later.
So you get drafted in September of 43.
Right.
They rush you through training. They give you a brand new ship, the USS Stockdale.
Destroyer Escort. See, there are 3-inch 50 guns. Destroyers have 5-inch guns.
So what were your duties aboard that ship?
Well, I was a seaman at first. In other words, we hit different ports. They used to throw lines, you know, on the dock, and they'd tie us up. I could tell you about this one day.
All right.
We're coming in there in England. So the boatswain mate first place says, Bill, how about you throwing a line today? That's a good. So here's the dock here, and there's a big picture frame. They had an old building, and a big frame. So I got it, and I threw it, and went over that and broke the whole glass. And the skipper said, who the hell's a seaman who threw that line? And so I got 30 days extra work.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's the first time. And so I never did it before. I said, God, I wanted to show impression, you know.
Yeah.
So I went through. That's the exact words. Who the hell is that seaman? He said, I wanted his name. So next morning I had a captain's mail. See, when you do something wrong, you go for the captain.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he laughed. So the English guy went, who's going to pay for my glass? Skipper said, we'll pay for it. And we never did. After once we got out, we never did. That's the first time I threw a line, I broke the window. A lot of times when we hit port, I used to go with the boatswain every time. He was on the ship two years with me.
Uh-huh.
Every time we went to play, I went with him.
Were you, you're a teenager. But you're in a life and death situation. You talk about a wolf pack of submarines that's hitting members of your convoy.
Right. I was afraid, but I wasn't scared. I was scared, but I wasn't afraid of shooting at them. You know what I mean? There's two different things.
Yeah.
You could be afraid in your mind. See, I'm afraid they're going to sink our ship, but I was scared. And that's 18 years old. Just 3 months ago, I'm in high school.
I mean,
what's in my mind?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's a lot. To you, probably don't mean much.
So, when those submarines were hitting your convoy, did you see some of the other ships getting hit? Did you witness that?
Well, only one.
Yeah?
Only one. See, there's 5 destroyer escort. That was the most we had. We had 3-inch 50 guns.
Right.
They have a 6-inch gun. So what happened? All right, here's a sub here. It's surface, right?
All right.
We're here. All right, they can sink us, right? But we can't sink them because we got 3-inch 50 guns. They could sit there with 6-inch, and we got 3-inch 50, and only go so far.
Right.
So they know that.
So they have the range to hit you range.
That's why, I did that 3 times we went across, but the other times we was doing better.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was in 43. We was the flagship. You know, 399 the flagship, that's us. We mm-hmm. give the orders, you know. All right, 399 is 400, 401, 402, 403. So one time we lost 403. He went out and the submarine sank him.
So this is one of the same kind of ships in your convoy gets sunk by a submarine.
Yeah.
Could have been you.
I know it.
Yeah, that gets your attention, I bet.
I'm scared, afraid.
Did you ever have days where you thought, hey, this might be it for me?
Every time. When I saw, you know, if you see a surface sub out there.
Yeah.
Well, see, this one time, they used to call me Eyes of the Navy. Because when I was seaman, I made third-class signalman. I go up in a bridge, signal lights, and wave the flags, you know.
Uh-huh.
We had a second class and a first class. So the skipper liked me. Every time he was sending a message, he said, Bill, you send a message. The second class, third class, when I go below decks, try to do everything to get me in trouble because they liked me first.
They
right?
resented the fact that
yeah.
he liked you.
Yeah. All right, uh-huh. Here's what happened. Here's what happens. We went out there one time, and the skipper says, I don't see nothing, you know. So I put it on. I said, there's something on the water, Captain. He said, there ain't nothing on the water. So he got the first class. He said, what do you see out there? He said, I don't see nothing. I saw a surface submarine. And
wow.
The skipper looked through the glass, and he said, there's nothing out there, Bill. I said, there is something, Captain. That's why he called me. That's why every time we go on out, you know, with a convoy, you see it, the head ship, like flagship, they don't go out. We send other people
right.
out.
Yeah. You
know? So one day, they sent us. I had a captain. Boy, he's gung-ho, man. He sees any subs or he likes that. I mean, he don't like it, but I mean.
He's ready for action.
He said, I want action, yeah. you know. So anyway, it was a surface sub out there. So that saved the convoy because we wired for planes. Planes coming, whatever's there. Man, I saw, here's the water, I guess, and that was out there. We didn't get too close. Nobody's seen it but me. And the planes came, they dropped bomb in, whatever there blew up.
So what you're saying, though, is you looked through the glass and you saw a submarine Nobody else saw it, not your captain, not your rivals.
See, I didn't know. All I saw was something on the water. I don't know what it was, right. A sub. I don't know what it was.
But
I seen something.
You saw something no one else saw.
So the skipper notified planes, and they sunk the hell out of it.
Right. And if you hadn't seen it, it might have sunk you.
I know it.
Yeah. So that earned a lot of trust. Your captain had a lot of trust in you after that.
That's why he, and the other, first class, second class, they didn't like it. They said, we're first class, and he just made third class. And they used to go below decks and do all kinds of things. They'll say, Phil did it.
They'd blame you for everything.
But I never told the captain about it because I was afraid to tell him, you know.
Yeah.
So I got so mad, I told him. He said, how long has this been going on? That's a couple months. So he called him, had a captain's mask. He said, if I find out one thing that had the bill and you guys did it, he said, you'll be off this ship tomorrow.
Wow.
That's the kind of guy he is. See, when you go to general quarters, if you have 69 men, everybody has a duty.
Yep.
Say they did something, I told the captain. Next day, you'll have a captain mask. But next time we hit port, they'll have two of their first, second class single men. Took them off and bought two new ones. See, the captain always said, you've been on a ship for 18 months now. And he said, we're treated like brother. And he called everybody by name. See, when you're on a big ship, you had to salute an officer walks by. Oh, there's about 100 officers on a big ship. Every time you walk by, if you're sitting on the deck, you're off duty, you have to stand, get up, and salute them. Mm-hmm. But on my ship, you don't have to salute the officer, never. So, in other words, the officer say, how you doing? He'll walk by, I'm talking to them. How you doing today, Bill? You know, they all knew our names. We didn't call them by names. We just said, sir, but we don't have to salute. You know
what was your captain's name?
Luther, Captain Luther.
And when you talk about being a signalman and sending messages to other ships, how did you do that? What was the method you used to communicate ship to ship?
If you see lights blinking, then you get on there and find out.
Morse code by lights.
Morse code, but I forgot all that right now. You know that? Well, 73 years ago.
Yeah. What about the flags? What did you do with the flags?
Just wave.
So you're sending semaphore messages through flags.
Yeah, but flags if you're close by.
When general quarters sounded, where did you have to go? What was your duty station then?
I had a 3-inch .50 gun on a signal bridge.
Uh-huh.
3-inch .50, it's like a submarine gun. And that old bullets flying all around the deck on bulkheads, you know.
How often did you have to fire those?
Well, I got one star in major battle, and that's when I don't know if I hit something or what. It's in the North Atlantic.
What happened? What do you remember?
All I remember, they're Ju-88 dive bombers. That's what they were.
Uh-huh.
And they used to come in, boy, and drop them things left and right. We didn't get hit, but a lot of ships got hit.
So these German dive bombers are heading for your ship, and you're on this anti-aircraft gun trying to time it up to hit them on one of their passes?
No, that's all I can do. Other guys were on 20 millimeter, 40 millimeters, 3-inch .50 guns.
Yeah.
I was just praying it didn't hit the ship, that's all. But they had the advantage, though. See, they were called Ju-88 dive bombers.
Yeah.
See, they come in, drop the bomb, and go. One time, I was up there, and a German bomber is on the right side, starboard side. I'm here on the bridge, like this, and as he was coming in, the guy is on the guns on the right side, starboard side. They shot him down. As he come, he was heading towards the ship, and all of a sudden, rather than hitting the ship, he couldn't hit the ship. He knew he was dying, you know. So he was this close for me to see, and I saw what he looked like. He was that close. And what he did, he turned the ship and went in the water and blew up.
Wow.
So, in other words, I saw his face. I tried to tell people that. They said, you're crazy. How can you get that close? I said, don't tell me what I didn't see. See, he looked at me and smiled. I tell people that. I even told the captain. They laughed. They think it's a joke. They said, how can he get that? Because when he came in, he could have crashed right where I'm here, and he came in, as he did. Instead of, I said, that's the end right now. I didn't have time to think. He could have hit me and blew the ship up. But what he did, he came in, he gave me a smile, and he turned and went in the water and blew up.
Wow.
See? He figured, I'm dying. Why kill all these Americans? You know what I mean? Any other German, he don't care. He'd do it. In other words, if the Germans knew he did that he didn't hit that, and he was alive, and they found out, they'd kill him.
So he was heading straight for you.
Yeah.
And had he not turned, he would have killed you and killed a lot more.
He blew up the ship.
Yeah.
But what he did, see, the guns on the right, as he was coming in, they shot him. He knew. I didn't see him till the last minute.
Yeah.
But that's when I got that one star for major battle. I guess that's the one he won, because I didn't have any more like that.
So you made eye contact with him.
But nobody believes it. I even talked to my daughter's boyfriend was in the Air Force. I tell him that. He said, how'd they get that close? I said, I don't know. You know, I was only 18 years old. How do I know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was scared and all like that. You know, a lot of times I go to bed, I lay in the bed, and first thing I do, I picture him on the airplane smiling at me.
You keep seeing that over and over again.
I mean, it doesn't bother me. But in other words, like I'm talking about now, or I can go to bed tonight, you know, and think, geez, I see that guy smiling at me. But if you tell people that, if I told a psychiatrist, he'll think I'm nuts. I mean, I've seen it for real, but nobody believes me.
Well, and so many people who experience these flashbacks, it's a negative thing. It's a thing they don't want to see again.
But and I do. How come?
Well, because it saved your life, right? That's a positive memory to think how your life was spared in that moment, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that? What if he didn't turn?
Well, see, when you're an action like that, you ain't got time to think. You know, I'm talking to him now. Oh, yes. Oh, it's easy. He just missed me. No. But you had to be there to see it. I mean, I didn't have time to think. A lot of times when guys, Marines are going on the land and Japs are coming in and they're close and they kill them, they don't think about it. Either they kill them or they kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this here.
Well, I imagine that definitely gets your attention, and you can't take anything for granted after something like that happens.
You tell people that, you're crazy. He'll say, yeah, Bill. But deep inside, he'll say, that don't never happen. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm interested in what else happened, because you spent the better part of 2 years going back and forth, making these journeys. Were there some other moments where you look back on now and you say, boy, that was pretty close? That was a close call?
Yeah, but every time I went on a ship, Al, I was, everything's a close. You know, when you're 18 years old, I mean, you're gung-ho. Like, if I had to go through that now, 92, I'd be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even afraid to go out in a ship out in the ocean. If I take a cruise, I'm afraid. Like, one time I went to New York, and my wife went, and we went on a ferry boat. You know, to Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
The thing started to take water. And you know, and my wife looked at me and said, you're all white, Bill. What's the matter? I said, look, and the water was coming on the ferry boat this high.
Uh-huh. Like a foot
deep. I kept thinking, I said, all I went through, I'm going to get killed on a ferry boat. I went through a lot of stuff, but I got more worried now than I did when I was out in the sea.
I don't think anybody blames you after hearing some of what you went through out there. And I know it wasn't just the enemy threat, but the weather conditions in the North Atlantic, too, at times. We're going to explore that when we come back. We'll also, of course, get into the most recent development, what started as an absolute nightmare for this 92-year-old Navy veteran when the flags he flew daily were burnt to a crisp, only to unleash an outpouring of support that still hasn't come to a halt yet. Check out the photos and videos at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, and we'll be right back after this.